You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, happy Thanksgiving and welcome to the holiday season. That's right, it's the holiday season and we've got a lot of news for you in this week's episode of Drone News. Joining me, as always, is the Flying Dutchman. Hiya, how are ya?
Hey, Paul, I'm doing great. How are you? And happy Thanksgiving to you as well, by the way, and everybody who's listening.
Yes, I'm not sure if you know this, but in America, Thanksgiving represents when we overcame the enormous amount of native turkeys that were fighting our army back in the 1800s. So, you know, that's why we have Thanksgiving now. You know, I don't know if you knew that.
A huge challenge, I'm sure. I had no idea. I always wondered where the turkey came from, but now I know.
For everyone out there, they know that's not the truth. But we are actually excited to give you some more truth because we've got a lot of drone news. And Haya, I have to say this. I'm just going to come out and I'm going to say it because I want to say it. But it looks like a lot of the things that you and I have been forecasting, the things that we have been projecting that we thought would come to fruition, these things are finally coming to fruition. So it's really exciting to see all this new competition to DJI. And I'm not even getting started in this first piece of drone news. But Haya, seriously, DJI's competition, we've been talking about this for a long time. The door has been wide open. Skydio came out and they completely changed the way that we fly. I know that there are some naysayers. Ryan, I'm looking at you. And I know that there are some people out there who think that it is just not possible to compete with DJI. But when DJI handcuffed themselves earlier this year, it seemed like this was an amazing opportunity for other manufacturers to come out and provide competition to the industry as a whole. Now, I know DJI watches this. I know Autel watches this show. I know Skydio watches this show. I know the feds watch the show. I know the FAA watches the show. And I have to say, competition is a good thing for everyone. But Haya, what do you have?
Oh, for sure, Paul. Competition is good for everybody involved. And yeah, like you said, this was an opportunity ready to be taken. And we knew that one of the drone companies had to step up and was going to do something. We thought maybe Parrot was going to do something at some point. And then, of course, more obviously, it became Skydio with the Skydio 2. And now the Autel Evo 2. That's information just got leaked yesterday through an FCC filing. And that drone is really, really something, it seems. I mean, if you just look at the specs, it's going to have 8K video capability. It's going to have, well, let me back up. It's going to have three different gimbal modules that you can change yourself as a drone pilot. One of them is going to have 8K video capabilities. The other one is going to be a 1-inch sensor with 6K video capabilities. And then also there's going to be a dual sensor option. So real quick here, if you think about it, they're going to compete head on basically with the DJI Mavic 2 Zoom, because with this one, you'll be able to zoom in digitally and hardly lose any quality, really. They're going to compete with the DJI Mavic Pro when it comes to all the low light capability and just the resolution in photos and in video quality. They're going to compete with the DJI Mavic 2 Enterprise and the Enterprise Duo as well with this Autel Evo 2 dual sensor setup. So yeah, I'm super excited about this. The drone is going to have a flight time. I'm just running through the specs here real quick. Flight time of 35 minutes, which is really, really long. It's going to have a special night beat mode for nighttime photography and videography. 44 mile per hour top speed, 60 mile range, so 360 degree obstacle avoidance. No geofencing as of yet in the United States. And a takeoff weight of 2 pounds and 3 ounces. So for a lot of people who weren't happy with the DJI Mavic 2 Pro when it came out, I mean, it seems like Autel was ticking all the boxes and we're super excited for this drone to hit the market.
I mean, it sounds like Autel is giving everyone or the community what we almost were asking for with the DJI Phantom 5, right? We wanted these interchangeable payloads. We wanted these large format sensors for mapping and photography and videography, but we also want something portable. So I also love how you can do everything with just one drone. I don't have to go out and buy three drones to do three different jobs. And you know what? Yeah. That builds trust, Haya. And I have to say, Autel, very well done. Extremely excited. And Haya, as you know, I leaked the dual camera, and I hope you liked my photo because it was completely photoshopped from yours truly.
Did you see the photos here? How your drone photo actually resembled the actual product? You're not that far off.
Yes, I did. It might be because I may or may not have seen said product.
So. You kind of knew what to adjust there.
yes. But it was a lot of fun, and it was. I'm really happy that this is out. This is something that I think the community is just going to absolutely love. Now, you talked about 6K video. You talked about 8K video. As far as megapixels are concerned, what are the different sensor sizes and what type of megapixel or what type of resolution are you seeing from these sensors?
Let me run through that real quick as well. So there's three different gimbal setups with camera attached to them that you can interchange yourself. The first one is the 586 gimbal that provides an 8K video camera that takes still photos up to 48 megapixels and records 8K video up to 25 frames per second, 6K at 30 frames per second, or 4K at 30 or 60 frames per second with a bit rate of 120 megabits per second. So these specs blow any DJI Mavic 2 drone straight out of the water, basically.
Phantom, Inspire, X5, X7, X4, like they just took out the Inspire with this drone.
Yeah. The only thing we don't know is exactly what the sensor size is itself. If you go through the manual from the Autel Evo 2, it only specifies or specifically mentions the sensor size for the second option, which is the 383 gimbal that features an ultra HD camera with a 1-inch sensor for 6K video, still photos up to 20 megapixels, and that one records 5.5K video at 60 frames per second, or, and wait for this one, 4K video at 120 frames per second. So you can do super high-res slow motion. It's amazing. And an adjustable aperture that goes from 2.8 to f11. So it's pretty amazing. Then the last one, the dual sensor gimbal, is the one with which they specifically go after the first responders, fire departments, police departments markets. This one combines an infrared camera that has 640 by 512 and records video at 720p, but combines that with the 8K video. So you can do both basically and zoom in. Yeah, this sounds like a great search and rescue drone, specifically when you keep in mind that you also get a range of 16 miles. So if you need to find missing people in a large foresty area, and assuming that you're allowed to fly in those conditions and fly beyond line of sight, you'd be able to use this drone and cover a lot of ground to find missing people. The best part is that we won't even have to wait very long for this drone to hit the market, as we've heard that it's going to be launched in January of 2020. So it's going to be available soon. And yeah, I have it on my Christmas list for sure. I'm not sure I'm going to work this out, but I want to get my hands on this one for sure.
Take my money. Take it. I want one. Holy cow. This is what every drone pilot has been asking for, especially public safety. And I have to say, I am so, so glad that someone is offering this. And Autel, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And thank you from everyone in the community. But especially thank you, because search and rescue is going to be absolutely unreal with this drone. So really, 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 really excited. Wow. I guess it's going to suck for all those stores that only represent DJI, huh?
I don't know, but if I had a drone store, I think I would want this in my inventory for sure. The one thing we don't yet know is the different pricing points at which Autel is going to launch the Evo 2. I mean, I hope they're going to stay somewhat close to where the Mavic 2 Pro is positioned, although I can imagine that the dual sensor gimbal is going to be, of course, quite some more expensive. If I'm not mistaken, the Enterprise Dual, I think, retails for $26.99. With these higher specs, I would imagine that the Autel drones might be slightly more expensive, but still, I mean, you got a super powerful drone that's foldable, lightweight, easy to take with you, and it has pretty much all the capabilities any drone pilot could ask for. So yeah, super exciting news.
Unbelievably exciting. Hopefully it has attitude mode or some way to disable GPS, as I still think that that's incredibly important for...
It has.
Yeah. So, well, I know they said that the Evo had... the attitude mode, but I'm not sure I could ever figure out how to get it on my bird. Because I remember taking my Evo down to the Bahamas, and it was an awesome drone. Really loved it. So what I really love, though, Haya, is the built-in screen. Love the built-in screen on the remote. That's just so valuable in the field. Yep. So anyway.
In their new remote, it's going to be an OLED screen. I've got some pictures of that as well, so I'll write another article showing exactly how the remote controller works. But it seems to be a really nice one. And you won't need to put your phone in, so you don't get those phone calls in between and all the other stuff. It's nice.
Yeah, that's very nice. And it's funny because getting phone calls mid-flight is one of the biggest distractions ever. And most people utilize their phone as their screen. So it does definitely cause significant problems. But that being said, causing significant problems is just one particular problem for one drone pilot, as the FAA has finally laid the long dick of the law. I'm talking about the guy in Las Vegas. Haya, what do you have for us?
Yeah, this is a crazy story, basically. The FAA fined drone pilot Ruben Burciaga, if I pronounced that correctly, with a fine of $14,000 and $700, which was then raised to around $20,000 because of late fees that this drone pilot incurred because he didn't appeal and didn't respond and didn't pay his fine. So matters got progressively worse. It all started back in June of 2018 when Ruben wanted to try a DJI Phantom 3, and he launched it from a seven-story car park. So that's a concrete building with all the metal involved. So right off the start, he had issues with GPS connectivity. We went through his flight logs to kind of see what happened. The drone was in control, out of control, back and forth the whole time. And at some point, it ended up in eddy mode and it just drifted with the wind, basically from the strip, so downtown Las Vegas. And it drifted towards the international airport, McCarran Airport, and landed right next to an active runway. So it's almost like the worst case scenario, basically. The FAA said that this drone pilot was both careless and reckless. They listed in their letter that they sent to the drone pilot at least four reasons for fining him. One was flying a drone without a permission. Second one was in a controlled airspace. Thirdly, flying over people, and then also imposing a hazard to other manned aircraft. There are more violations in the letter. This is what we know for sure. We're trying to get a copy of the letter, but so far we haven't been successful yet. It's like the worst case scenario, basically. I mean, flying a drone in an area where you're not allowed to fly to begin with, and then having it land on an active airfield and a busy one at that is pretty bad. Ruben claimed himself in a video that he's not able to pay a fine this high, that it's half his annual income. However, it seems that the FAA has already handed over the fine to the US Treasury Department, and apparently they will even look at his social security and income tax to recuperate this money. So it's the first big story where we know that a drone pilot is actually getting fined by the FAA, and it's quite the story, to say the least.
Wow. You know, it's interesting because if he took off from a parking garage, right, where all of us pilots who are familiar with operating understand, you know, why that is problematic. And I've talked before, you and I actually have talked about takeoff positions before in podcasts, about having high areas of takeoff positions. But when you're on a parking structure like that, the amount of magnetic interference is astronomical, especially since he's taking off from a parking structure surrounded by casinos built out of steel all over, you know, the strip, which is covered in steel. And it just makes you really wonder how much this guy really knew about what he was doing, because it doesn't really seem like it was clueless. It seems like he knew kind of what he was doing. While it may be clueless that he didn't understand the ferromagnetic environment, he knew exactly where he's flying, which you pull up on any map whatsoever, and it's clearly, you know, controlled airspace. So,
oh, yeah. If you look at his profile and in his comments, both on YouTube and on the DJI forum and some other places, he mentioned himself that he was going to try this flight one more time. So obviously he had done it before, right downtown Las Vegas. There are other videos on his Instagram account where he's flying 6 miles in the dark over a marina area. There's a photo where he shows his modified remote controller. So he might have been clueless when it came to the rules and regulations, but he wasn't clueless when it came to flying his drone and figuring out ways to do what he wanted to do, regardless of what the rules allow you.
Wow. Well, for us as commentators and news hosts, we've been asking to see an enforcement for a while from the FAA. Yeah. We believe that this show of force, this enforcement, would help the industry as a whole, to help people understand that if they do act irresponsibly, if they're careless, clueless, or criminal, that there will be some sort of repercussions. So while I do think that it's good that this happened, it's actually surprising that the FAA would go to such an extent to give the fine to the Treasury Department, because, you know, if you remember that podcast that we had with the lead prosecutor of the FAA, you know, he made it very clear. He's like, you know, we don't want to hinder people to the point where they can't survive anymore. You know, we just, you know, we need to have a fine large enough where it deters people from doing the action again. And for the FAA to go all the way to the Treasury Department really makes me question the character of the individual who was behind the sticks, the character of the individual who was, you know, flying. I mean, it really makes you wonder what he did to get such a stiff penalty. And I don't mean a stiff fine, because if you think about it, he broke 5 federal laws right there. So $1,100 apiece, sure, makes sense. You know, he's right there around, you know, 12 grand. Mm-hmm. And the fact that his initial fine was only, you know, $15,000, that, you know, okay, not a, you know, not crazy compared to what we've heard about fines. But to have that fine sent to the Treasury Department, wow. Wow. There's no getting out of that. There's no civil court lawyer that's going to save you. So, I mean, that's a big deal.
He had his chance to appeal, and he had his chance to explain the situation and either pay the fine or maybe even negotiate the fine. I don't know how willing the FAA would have been, but there were options along the whole process for him to act and to respond and to try and do something about it. And apparently he didn't. So the fines just increased, and late fees were applied, and bang, there you are, 20,000. Expensive for sure. I don't know. I mean, it might well be that the FAA knows a lot more than what we're gathering from the information that we have, which is why we want to get our hands on the letter and also want to go through his flight logs to see exactly what happens. It's a big fine. If the FAA wanted to make a statement and deter other drone pilots, I think they might have done it with this one. I mean, if you look at this article versus all the other articles we've ran on Drone DJ in the last 2.5 years, this is by far the number one when it comes to traffic. So if the FAA's goal was to reach out to a lot of drone pilots and make sure that everybody would get the message, at least from where I'm sitting, from the numbers that I can see on Drone DJ, they surely succeeded.
Wow. Fascinating. But that brings us to our next piece of drone news. And dear FAA, all the pilots who not only preach safety, but also follow safety protocols, greatly thank you. And I've heard, it's funny though, Haya, because I've seen a lot of people in the industry just, you know, saying how excited they are for the enforcement. And half of those people, I'm all, you know, I don't think you should be saying that. So, because there's a lot of fakers in this industry. But that being said, that brings us to our next piece of drone news, which it looks like another new drone is making waves in the industry, as it is able to be launched from a moving vehicle at about 50 miles an hour. Now, Haya, while there are other military options out there that really go way above and beyond this capability, this is quite a leap forward for the consumer class of drones. What's going on here?
Yeah, this is a project that was developed together with NASA, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and Caltech University, and they came out with this drone. It's actually a lot smaller than I thought it would be if you just go by the pictures. It's only 10 inches and weighs 1.7 pounds. It's called the SQUID drone, which stands for Streamlined Quick Unfolding Investigation Drone. Now, if you look at the photos, it kind of makes sense. You see this white truck moving at a pretty rapid speed, 50 miles an hour. They have a cannon or almost like a grenade launcher in the back of the truck. And then all of a sudden, the drone shoots out up in the air, reaches a speed of 35 miles an hour, and quickly deploys the four rotors, and then basically is able to fly anywhere. It might not seem like such a great invention until you start thinking about first responders and police officers, for instance, when they get to a scene of an accident and they're able, while they're coming to a stop, to launch a drone and right away provide an aerial viewpoint to the command center while they're addressing the immediate needs at the location. You can see where a drone like this might actually bring a lot of value. We've heard about other drone tests where the drone actually is the first responder. So they send out drones from a central point right away to a 911 caller's location to already get the aerial point of view. That has been working great, but that of course has a very limited radius. Imagine if you have police cars or trucks outfitted with a drone system like this, where you're able to launch a drone from any police vehicle. Yeah, you'd be able to get an aerial point of view really quickly and at least have an idea of the scene of the accident, how bad things are, and what other resources need to be deployed. So right now, this is just a test showing what's capable. But if you think a little further down the line, you can see how something like this might actually provide a lot of value for first responders specifically.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And in the meantime, it seems like that group called Drone Responders may have just been one-upped by a machine. But vernacular is not important oftentimes. But while it's not, having a drone respond before anyone else could be life-saving. I just hope that we do not overreach our human rights when that is being utilized. So I think it's a very powerful tool and can help save police officers' lives. And I think police officers innately have more responsibility than most humans. And many humans really don't understand what it's like to be a police officer. They don't understand what it's like to be in that position. So I think this is phenomenal for police officers, but there comes a great responsibility with the technology as well. That brings us to our last story of the day, or of the Thanksgiving season. And Haya, I'm going to give thanks to you, my friend. Thank you for the new show this year. It's been 1 year now that we've been doing it, and it's been awesome.
Same here, Paul. Thank you as well. I mean, it's been a blast doing these shows together, and I'm looking forward to doing a lot more in 2020, because I think next year is going to be even more interesting when it comes to drone news.
I could not agree more, my friend. Could not agree more. Like we said, you know, in the news shows this summer, it seems like things are really slowing down this year and that we were just going to get hit hard in 2020. It's not even 2020 yet, and we're already being hit really hard. But that also goes to show the growth of the industry, which is our last piece of news, which you're saying that the industry is supposed to grow to 100 billion?
Yeah, and that's already in 2020. Now, granted, most of it is all military applications. I mean, there's a lot more money going on in the whole military world than in the consumer world. The drones are much bigger, much more expensive. So you buy a bunch of those and the numbers start to rack up pretty quickly. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the drone industry doesn't grow fast. I mean, if you look at this graph in this article here on Drone DJ, you can see how quickly it grows. 100 billion seems like a massive number for a drone industry already by 2020. But go a little further to 2040, and it's expected to reach $1.5 trillion. So, and this is the global drone industry. So things are going to really take off quite significantly. At least this is what Morgan Stanley thinks. Now, going back to what we were talking about, like the different applications for drones, for instance, with that squid drone for police officers, if you think about other things like drone deliveries and drone for first responders and drones to bring organs or blood samples or medication to different locations. I mean, there are so many ways in which drones can be used. And I think we're still at the forefront of that industry taking off. And again, if you look at this graph and you see how fast it's going to grow, then I think a lot of people are expecting the drone industry globally to really take off. And what we're seeing right now is merely the beginning of this.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to be here, Haya, and it is exciting to be a part of the industry. But it also goes to show that if you want to be around to see this industry grow, then you better focus on your business and relationships with those in the industry as a whole. And I think that's extremely important to say, Haya. But on this new show for Thanksgiving, again, thank you for joining me on another new show. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate being here as well. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the new shows we have going on this year, and especially for 2020. I think, like I said before, that next year is going to be a big one when it comes to drone news.
Definitely couldn't agree more. And also for everyone who's out there, if you're hearing this on Black Friday, don't forget to check out the DroneU Black Friday deals. Just go to DroneUBlackFriday.com or check out our Facebook, Instagram. Do you have any specials going on, Haya, for you on Black Friday? Or what certain what things are exciting you? What accessories do you want to tell your wife right now that you want for Christmas? And how can that help other pilots get their toys, I mean tools, underneath the tree as well?
Well, we're going to be reporting on a whole lot of specials coming out. We have a few lined up with Drone Nerds, unique specials that we'll be launching here on Drone DJ. Of course, Amazon is going to have a whole range of specials as well across different industries or different categories. DJI has a number of specials going on, so we'll be sure to have a list of all the best deals and best offerings for both Black Friday as well as Cyber Monday. So stay tuned, and we'll make sure we list them all on DroneDJ.com.
Yeah, I'm excited. I wanted to ask you the question myself. If I know the Mavic 2 Pro is going down to a pretty low price point. Yeah. Are you going to be waiting for the Mavic 3, or are you going to pick up another Mavic 2?
I've already picked up a Skydio 2. I have money reserved for the new hotel drone. I'm also reserving some money for the DJI Mavic 3 Pro that we expect to come out in January. I don't think I need another Mavic 2 Pro. I have one already. They are cheap. They are very capable. So if you don't have one, I think it will be a drone that comes highly recommended. I don't need a second one at this point, though.
Yeah, very interesting. The only reason I bring it up, it's one of the last Mavics that you can hack. I've tried every way possible to hack my Mavic Mini, and finally, yeah, I just did it with a piece of tape. So, hey.
What did you hack, and what was the purpose?
Well, I wanted attitude mode, and I wanted to turn off the stupid obstacle avoidance sensors, because you can't fly that drone in any confined space because it constantly wants to land. So I'm trying to fly it through the tunnel, and it's just land, land, land. Like, it's just so annoying. So I finally just put some tape over the sensors, and then I put a certain type of tape on the top of the drone, and I got exactly what I wanted. So
so it flies through the race course fine now, or?
No, it still has that issue of it doesn't want to let me reduce the elevation throttle, below, like I would say 25%. As soon as I do, it wants to land. Still have that issue, but at least I now know how to fly it in attitude mode. So I'm excited about that. And I will say, you know what the Mavic Mini did is it got a lot of people excited about drones again. And we've got to thank DJI for that. So I think it's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they reach a whole new market with a drone that's so capable and so affordable. And I think this Christmas we'll probably see those numbers, or at least we will see the orders go through Drone DJ. So far, it's been a really popular drone. And I think, they're reaching a whole new audience. The one thing I think we do need to point out, both through DJI and the FAA, is that, hey, if you're reaching all these new drone pilots, you got to figure out a way to make them aware of all the drone rules and regulations, because a lot of people still have no idea where they can and cannot fly and how far they can fly, how high they can fly, all those good things. So there's an opportunity there.
There's also an opportunity to provide one seamless application that has correct information, that offers fleet management, weather information, and every piece of information that you would need to make a decision on whether to fly. Now, I know a lot of people use a lot of different apps to get all of that together, but we're excited because we're going to have a new guest on the show here pretty soon that has solved all of that and more, and also has more SDK users than any other application out there. So really excited to see someone someone doing something that I think everyone's going to like a lot in 2020.
Hi. Who is this? Come on.
Well, on that bombshell, that is going to do it for us today. No, but stay tuned, everyone, because it's definitely going to be news that you are not going to want to miss. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to shake up all the apps, all the Kitty Hawks, all the Air Maps, all that. They're all about to be like, bloop. So I think it's awesome. I love the fact that someone's really focused on delivering the right information consistently in an easy API that also I think is going to have a huge impact on the industry's ability to scale. Because think about this, Haya, there's a lot of applications out there that provide many different solutions, but there's not really one application that provides all the solutions, and well, I think we could be seeing that. We will see.
All right, you got me curious and excited now as well. So when the show is done, you got to tell me more.
Sounds good, Haya. Well, that is going to do it for us today. Haya, happy Thanksgiving. Really appreciate you and look forward to seeing you next week on this episode of Drone News. So thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you as well, Paul. Looking forward to the next one.
I am as well. Well, everyone, that's going to do it for us today. If you found this this show interesting, entertaining, or you learned something not widely known, don't forget to give us a like, give us a share, and leave us a review on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you download the show. That's going to do it for us today, though. My name is Paul. His name is Haya. All right? Get it right. Okay?
Yeah, you got it right. Close enough. Close enough.
Well, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks again for watching. Later.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone Youth.